You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Now, I personally have always been fascinated by the concept of following and being followed, particularly in the context of a modern age, yeah? See, no matter your age, no matter who you are or who you think you are and whose you think you are following something. And I'm not only referring to the concept of, social media following, particularly for our young people, whereby you would follow someone, be it a celebrity or maybe not so much of a celebrity, or maybe someone you believe would post content that might be of interest to you, or someone who regularly discusses topics or subjects or whose life is of interest to you. And in one way or the other, you want to learn more about the subject they discuss or about that particular individual. It could be on the subject of football, like for some of us. It could be on the subject of finances or even spirituality. Now, whether consciously or unconsciously, we are all following someone or something. I always wondered, though, what it feels like for people with massive following. At the back of my mind, I think it puts a little bit of pressure on them, right? Because I'm assuming that they would always want to put the best version of themselves out there for their followers. Ayo and I met a lady during the summer when we went to see Kirk Franklin at Wembley. This lady happened to be slightly popular on Instagram. I didn't know who she was at the time. Ayo did. But she would eventually explain the challenges of having just 23,000 followers on Instagram. Now, the pain of overthinking every single post, sometimes spending time, quite a lot of time planning the post, I'm assuming she's having to take multiple takes and angles of photos and multiple takes of video and then finally selecting the perfect one to post. Now, I also didn't realize another element, which is a need to want to protect a part of their lives from the very people that follow them. It could be their kids or personal relationship, fighting off the thoughts and the feelings of being invaded by the same very people that follow them. Now, one thing I know is that most people wouldn't post things that might embarrass them or things they don't want people to know about them. Because why? We're all humans, right? And naturally, we tend to leave out the not-so-great stuff about ourselves so that when people see a version of us online, it's the version we want them to know. But we serve a Savior who is consistently open and unashamed to be his true self. Isn't Jesus the greatest person we could follow? Amen. See, he wasn't ashamed to bear his heart, for all of us to see and to follow. See, he wasn't ashamed to be born to poor Mary or not so wealthy Joseph. Naturally, we're all wired to constantly project ourselves to people, the image of who we believe ourselves to be. And then in turn, we then constantly seek affirmation from the same very people of who they think we are. But we serve a Savior who came to this earth in human form, devoid of any form of fakeness. He was so real. I mean, maybe too real and factual. He told his disciples in the book of Luke 9:23, he was like, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Jesus was real, and he's still very real with us today. See, he was so real that he wasn't afraid to express his fear and his humanity in God's absolute righteousness. One of my best Jesus moments was that night in the garden when he wasn't ashamed to cry out for help from the Father. I can't but help to remind myself so often, how Jesus must have felt that night in the garden, just before he would die on the cross, you know, kneeling on the ground with sweat dripping down from his face, with a tangible awareness that soon and very soon he would bear upon himself the sins of the world. And that on that cross, he was going to absorb all of God's wrath, all of humanity's sin upon himself. This is the Jesus we follow. And see, as we go through this series, we will be nudged to follow Jesus. You know, the one and only Savior, the one who knows what it feels like to be human. And we're going to be deeply steered in very practical ways, you know, to follow Jesus and also to hold each other accountable as we do so. Aren't we all very excited about practicing the way? If you're not excited yet, please grab Rick, yeah, or any of the elders, and, you know, we can share more information with you. Speaking of the way, Jesus says in the book of 14, John 14, verse 16, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way, as in the directional path to get from one point to a particular destination. A lot of us, I'm sure, we're very familiar with apps like Waze and Google Maps, such that if you ever have to get yourself to a destination, all you have to do is just type in the address on your phone, right? And if for whatever reason you are not, maybe you don't know the address, but you know the postcode, all you had to do was just, you know, put in a postcode, and the app would get you to the vicinity of that destination, you know, and then you can think, oh, yeah, that's the house I'm trying to get to. And the apps are so good these days. All you need to do is just begin typing in the address, and then from a database, it says, are you going to number one Upper Way in Farnham, or are you going to number one Upper Way in Manchester? And of course, you're going to choose Farnham, right? Now, these apps are so good that they give you clear directional instructions, you know, with verbal cues, with pictorial cues. I mean, in every step of the way on this journey. I personally, particularly like the fact that, you know, they tell you where the police are and where the speed cameras are. For those of us, we point on our licenses. Come on, that's a joke, right? Because we Christians should always drive under the speed limit as good and law-abiding citizens. But I can't help but relate this to Jesus, you know, because he says he is the way to the Father. And he's saying, I can guide you on this journey. I can get you there. See, I can tell you where all of the pain points are. I can tell you where the pitfalls on this journey will be. Like the apps, you know, they tell you if there's an object on the road or if there are, you know, potholes. And Jesus is saying, I can tell you where the temptations are along this journey. I can help you overcome them. I can guide you. I can help you navigate through this journey. I also like the fact that these apps provide us with a level of comfort. You know, like when we're stuck in traffic, like the photo on the right, you know, it's telling you it might look bad right now. It's red on the left and red on the right. Things might be slow right now, but hold on. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. You're only going to be in it for 17 minutes. I believe I'm preaching to someone here this morning. Okay, I get the joke, because 17 minutes can creep up to like 30 minutes. You know? Okay, anyway, you get what I'm trying to say. Because for some of us, sometimes it might feel like we're stuck, you know, in the traffic of life. If only we can have a level of assurance to let us know for how long further we'd be in this journey, in this traffic. Same way Jesus is saying, I am the way. I can assure you. For some of us, it may seem a bit hard right now. But he's saying, hold on. I am the way. Stick with me. Believe in me. Keep following me. You are on the right path. And this is the word of God for someone here today. I remember donkeys years ago in the early 2000s. Some of you were not born then, right? I was a teenager, and I just learned to drive. And my late dad had started finally trusting me in Nigeria to run errands in his old rackety car, a green Toyota Tercel. Some of you might be wondering, what is Toyota Tercel? Yep, you're right. They don't make them anymore. A brand of Toyota car that was manufactured between 1978 and 1999, for those of you that like data points. And at the time, I think we had a 1984 model. It was an old car. And see, I could do a whole preach on the many life challenges that that car brought me and the many troubles I got myself into. And the troubles that car got me into as well. But maybe next time, right? You know, as most of you know, back in the early 2000s, we didn't have fancy phones. There were no fancy apps, you know, to sort of guide you, to tell you where it was you had to go. And my dad and I had been to a friend's house, you know, and as the way I remember it, it was in the middle of nowhere. And I remember being on the main tarred road with street lights on. And then I remember we came off the main road, driving along quite a lot of dirt road. And when I was with my father in this car, on this trip, you know, my father was driving, I was enjoying the ride. I never really paid attention because I wasn't the one driving, yeah? And then a week later, my father gives me an item and tells me to go deliver it to his friend. Same house, same location. Dad said, "We went there together last week, right?" I was like, yeah. He said, "You remember the ride, the directions, right?" I was like, yeah, I do. See, I was too excited about the prospect of driving that car all by myself without my dad in it. You know, I wanted to feel cool. You know, I had a car seat pushed as far back as possible. You know, my left hand on the steering, and then tilting a little bit to the side with the music blasting at the loudest volume. Oh, man, some really good Kirk Franklin New Nation Project music. You know, singing, "Do you want a revolution? Who, you know, anyone here knows this song?" And you know what? I was okay on the main road, enjoying the ride, even looking out in the hope that some of my schoolmates would see me, you know, to elevate my level of coolness. But as soon as I got off the main road, something felt off. I was lost. I felt like I was in a maze. The dirt roads in my teenage mind were just endless. See, I sat up real quick, like proper sitting back up. I turned the music off. Anyone ever done that before? You know, maybe you miss a turn, and then the next thing you turn the music, turn the radio off. You know, we got to concentrate. Oh, think more clearly. Oh, the dirt roads were long and swirly. And thinking back now, I wish I had an app to guide me, to direct me, to help me understand the way to my destination. Even if I had a guardian system, I wouldn't have panicked or felt lost. You know, even if I'd memorized the way, if only I'd lived the way, if only I'd understood the way. Some of us might have overwhelming feelings of fear and anxiety about life, about certain situations. Some of us, we've been trusting God for so long for certain things. If only we could have an insight into how long further, Lord, on this journey. And some of us, we now at, you know, pivotal point in our lives. Some of our young people, you might be thinking, what college or uni should I go to? You know, what should I study? What should I do with my life? You know, and for the slightly older ones, you might be thinking, you know, do I turn left now in my career path, or do I turn right, or do I do a 180 and go back to whatever it was I was doing before? So many questions, yet the scripture jumps out at us with Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we as believers, you know, feel this way sometimes, how much more the people outside of church who are not believers? And Jesus was very intentional when he told his disciples in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you. With you always, to the very end of the age. See, everyone matters to God on this journey of being with Jesus as we do life. Irrespective of your socioeconomic status, irrespective of anyone's academic qualification, irrespective of whether they are cool or not, or whether they are popular or not, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Pull them in. Because I am the way to the Father. But we've got to practice the way to the Father, right? And that way won't be easy sometimes. Jesus says in John 16, 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. But take heart and stick to the way. Don't be distracted. See, we learned on Wednesday that if you think your day-to-day job was hard, you try becoming a rabbi. Yeah? The career path to becoming a rabbi is hard. Like, you got to start oratory teaching from about the age of 5 as a child, memorizing the Torah, which is like the first 5 books of the whole Testament. I'm sure most of us have read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, right? You've got to memorize every single chapter. And then, at the age of 12, if you are deemed good enough, you would go into a more detailed house of learning, memorizing the vast majority of the Old Testament. Oh, till the age of, 17. And then at this point, whereby, vast majority of them would be done with studying the Torah. Like, that's enough. I got to do something else in my life. But then if the best of the best, the good ones, would then go on to an apprentice program serving a more established rabbi who would, very picky, select them, transitioning into a phase of life where all you did, all you were, all you lived for was to be like your rabbi. Then after a while, if you're deemed good enough by your rabbi, you then have a privilege of breaking away from your rabbi, with his blessing, of course, and begin your own journey of mentoring others to become rabbi. Now, the truth is, in order to build a career in this world of rabbis, you need to have a level of faith in your rabbi. To be a follower of a rabbi, you need to be a believer in the rabbi. The same way Jesus calls us on this journey to follow him, to believe in him. And the reality is, we need faith to follow Jesus, to practically follow him. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. See, on this journey of practicing the way, we need faith. It is a gift. You see, you can't just walk it up as a feeling in your mind. Yeah, we need God to shine his light on our minds. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 to 6 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of God, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us a light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. See, we all need God to unveil our eyes on this journey, to help our level of faith in him. And faith in Jesus help us to continuously see him as the most beautiful thing in our lives on this journey. See, we didn't turn away from our human sinful nature because we were afraid of being damned. No, we turn from our sinful nature because we see Jesus. Because our minds were enlightened by the light of the gospel. I believe I speak for every believer and every lover of God in Jubilee. When I say that we here in Jubilee decided to follow Jesus because we saw that Jesus is better than everything else in the world, better than whatever it is we would ever have in our lives. And Jesus was that was the most deciding factor as to why we made a decision to follow him. From we have a living verse scripture, which unfortunately we didn't read before the kids went out. No pressure, Rick. We're all going to read it together. It's from Jude 24, verses 24 to 25. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, go.
To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to judge you before him in all his presence, without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, who glory, majesty, power, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. To him who is able to keep you from falling, from stumbling in your following Jesus. To him who is able to present you faultless before his glorious presence with great joy. See, on this personal journey with Jesus, and on a collective journey together as a church, in this series, with 2024 gradually coming to an end and 2025 around the corner, in our year of being intentional, we need to journey with Jesus. We need to be with Jesus. We need to become like Jesus. And we need to do like Jesus did. The truth is, if we all want to be very sincere and truthful, you know, and admit to the truth of understanding ourselves as human, if we add even a tiny little iota of self-awareness and we're being honest with ourselves, I think we would understand as humans that we can't really keep ourselves from falling, from stumbling. You know, we can be very fickle sometimes. You know, sometimes we're not so different from the people of Israel in the Old Testament, whereby 1 minute they're worshiping God and the next they want to go back to Egypt because they're hungry. As if our onions or cucumber, something like that. Or we can be fickle people like David sometimes, you know, whereby 1 minute, you know, we love God so much, we are being referred to as a man after God's own heart. And the next minute, we're conniving to snatch Uriah's wife. We can sometimes be very unstable, like Peter in the New Testament. You know, we would have faith like Jesus and request to walk on water like Jesus. And then the moment the wind and the waves begin going crazy, we start to lose our faith. See, these examples show us that consistently, even people of faith have a hard time staying faithful sometimes. So for Jude to say that to him who is able to keep you from stumbling is to say that you are serving a God whose hands are stronger than your legs. You might not be able to keep yourself in the will of God as much as you try, but he will do it for you as long as you stick to his ways, as long as you follow Jesus, as long as you practically live the way of Jesus. But we've got to endeavor, right? We've got to endeavor to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do what he did. He is strong and powerful. His strength is everlasting. At a time whereby, you know, we live in a culture and in a world full of selfishness and lack of awareness about God's power and manifestation. At a time when some are falling by the wayside, we have a God who is saying that I am more than able to keep you from stumbling. See, so some of you might be here this morning and wondering, why do I need to follow Jesus? Why do I need God to keep me? Because Jesus became that spotless lamb without blemish. That spotless lamb who took on all of our blemishes, all of our faults, so that we could stand before God and not be judged. Jesus took on all of our burdens, all of the wrath that should have been upon us, all of the debt we had on ourselves, all of the nastiness we've gotten ourselves into or that has gotten into us, so that when we stand before God, we can stand purely on the righteousness of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? See, in the Old Testament, you would have had to, you know, present sacrifices, specially selected sacrifices, sacrifices without blemish. And you know why? Because God wanted that which was presented to him to be a representation of himself. In that God has no faults, God has no blemishes. God is perfect. God is spotless. He's so pretty. You know, he's a just God. He's a perfect God. But we all know enough about ourselves that the very moment we were born in this world, we were born with faults. We were shaped in iniquity. And some of us have got faults on our minds right now that the Holy Spirit is still walking through. So to answer that question up there is to shine a spotlight on the predicament we find ourselves as human. In that if God is holy and we are not, how in the world are we able to stand before him without being judged by him? And you know what? This is where the beauty of Jesus comes in. And this is why Jude had the audacity to say that God will not only be able to keep you, but also when you stand before him, you stand as though you had never committed an offense and a sin in your entire life. But we've got to spend time with Jesus. We've got to be like Jesus. We've got to do what Jesus did. We've got to be intentional in practicing the way of doing as Jesus would have done if Jesus were to be alive in 2024. So that we can be kept from stumbling and enjoy the lavishness of God's generous grace on this journey. My desire is for all of us, you know, to see ourselves the way God sees us. Because you were thought of in the mind of God even before you were born. You were born as an image bearer of God, which in turn implies that before God you have dignity. It means that you are important. It means that you have purpose. And that primary purpose is to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind, to follow Jesus. Well, maybe perhaps you're at a point in your life right now that you distrust God. You know, or maybe you feel like you've got an absolute right in your life, you know, to live your life the way you want to live it, believing you know better than the all-knowing and all-wise God. Or perhaps you're going through life, you know, making decisions that God would not have you make. Or maybe you're struggling with addiction, with greed, with ego, with pornography, whatever it might be. Jesus is calling you to follow him. His grace abounds and his love is here this morning. He can set you free. Hallelujah. He's going to have you just the way you are. And, you know, and he's going to set you on this transformational journey as you follow Jesus. If God is nudging at your heart this morning, please don't push back. You know, grab Sean, grab Rick, grab one of the elders, have a conversation after the service. Or perhaps you do try your best to follow Jesus, but you've just managed to pick up some idols along the way, some bad habits along the way. We saw a statistical pie chart early in the week about the number of people who claim to be Christians and followers of Jesus in America. Rick, I kind of wish we had something similar for the UK, or maybe our little Farnham. You know, the data in America said 60% of people who claim to be Christians in America, you know, I mean, out of 60%, 4% in reality actually follow Jesus. I like this quote we saw from Dallas Willard. They said, the greatest issue facing the world today with all its heartbreaking needs is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. See, similar to the rabbi who would apprentice, we learned that to follow Jesus means to apprentice under Jesus. But how can we really do this? These are the key point from Wednesday, Thursday. We do this by being with Jesus, by becoming like Jesus, by doing as Jesus did or would do. And 2024 has been our year of being intentional, like I mentioned. But the year is coming to an end. You know, for those of us who haven't been intentional yet about following Jesus and practicing the ways of Jesus, it's not too late. We can still make a commitment, you know, to do this. We can set daily reminders on our phones, you know, to pray. We can set daily reminders to study the Word of God. Technology has made doing this a lot easier. You know, now you can listen to the Word of God being read to you in the solitude of your headset or earpieces, you know, on Bible apps. You can worship God alongside songs on Spotify. See, believe me, we have a Jubilee Farnham worship playlist on Spotify. You can search it right now. You know, Chrissy and Nathan, bless them. They put this together and then they freshen it up every month. So we ain't got any excuse. we can plug these daily habits of spending time with God into our daily lives. We can plan, we can commit to these things. All we need to do is just, we got to keep God and the idea of following Jesus, following the ways of Jesus at the top of our minds. I like this other quote from Dallas Willard. It says, the first and most basic thing we can and must do is to keep God before our minds. This is a fundamental secret of caring for our souls. Our path in this practicing the presence of God is to direct and redirect our mind constantly to him. In the early time of our practicing, we may well be challenged by the bothersome habit of dwelling on things less than God. See, we can practice by making a commitment to join on Wednesdays and Thursdays at Wadon Christian Center for those who haven't signed up yet. We can, because this is our year of being intentional. Can we have the band come up, please? Yeah. My encouragement to you this morning is to follow Jesus. You know, to turn from idols, to turn from unbelief, to turn from pride, to be like Jesus, to be with Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. We're going to break bread now as a way of practicing the way of Jesus. You know, he commanded us, giving us a loving instruction, which is to remember him, to practice the Holy Communion as a church. Jesus wanted us to be very conscious of how his body was about to be broken for us as a church. He wanted us to remember his love for us, to remember that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And whenever we partake in this consciousness, see, what we're doing as a church is acknowledging the love that God has for us in following him, in becoming like him. And this morning I pray as we break the bread and partake together, that we're declaring like the God's divine health, that God's divine life flows in our mortal bodies and minds and frees us from all anxiety, from all depression, from all mental stress and mental element that doesn't belong to God. As we partake of the blood in these tiny little drinks, we're declaring that our sins are forgiven and that we stand in the righteousness of Christ. We're declaring as a church in unity that we all are loved by God. And we're declaring that the blood of Jesus puts us in right standing before God. I'm going to hand over to the band now. If anyone wants some prayers or ministry, please feel free to come out. We're going to worship. I encourage you to come out, have some bread, have some wine. Grab someone next to you. Encourage one another. Nudge one another to keep following Jesus. Pray with one another. Let's hold one another accountable on this journey of practicing the ways of Jesus.